one reason that I like, and the one reason that I especially love is the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, but, you know, the Old Testament come first, which was the law. And then, after all of that, then grace come, and that right there is sustaining it all, because you have the law, and then you have the grace of God. And we can, as individuals, we can lose the blessings that God has for us each and every day. We can lose them blessings in the life that we live, in the people that we speak to, and what we speak to people about. We can lose our blessing. But here in 2 Kings chapter 24, we are going to see some things here that is concerning Israel. And in the Old Testament, any time that Israel is brought up, it's the same thing as in the New Testament, as the Christians are being brought up. It's the same thing, because Israel is a chosen country, a chosen nation, and a chosen people. And God says that you must not do any harm to them. And if you do, you're going to end up paying the price. But with that in mind, in 2 Kings chapter 24, in 14 and 15, it says this, that in 14, chapter 24, in the book of 2 Kings, and he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captive, and all the craftsmen and the smiths, none remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he cried, and he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the individuals that lived in the land. And it was those that carried out the orders that the king had at that time had passed down. And those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And you know, with that in mind, we can see where the life of Israel is what we're speaking about. And it was a sad moment in the life of Israel when they failed God at Kadesh. There were four classes of people wandering in the wilderness, dwellers in Canaan, inhabitants of Egypt, and captivity in Babylon. Notice how they lost their blessings. Right here, we can go back and we can look over times past, and we can even look at it in what today is going, what today that what we have learned since we've been saved as Christians, that we can also remember what we was doing at one time. At one time, I can remember, this is myself now, I can remember right after I got saved, I mean, I didn't come up with a stranger. I didn't meet a stranger. Because the reason I didn't meet a stranger, because if I did not know the individual, I start talking to him. And then I start talking to him about the Lord. How he saved me. And how he could do the same for them. But we need to, we need to brag. If it's anything else we need to brag on, we need to brag on our salvation. We need to brag on the Lord. Because he's done so much for me. So who else can I brag on? I can't brag on nobody else. I can't brag on myself. I can't brag on my wife, my daughter. I can't brag on the church. The only one that I need to brag on, the only one I need for people to listen to and get the point is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He can come and he can save their unworthy soul, and they can escape the eternity of hell. Because as long as you spend eternity in heaven with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, you'll spend eternity with them. How long is that? Forever. How long is that? Eternity. How long is it? Forever. No ending to it. Because we're going to be surrounded by God. We're going to be surrounded by God's blessings. And we're going to be surrounded by God that will teach us things that we had wondered about down here. But you know, in saying that, I may go back. I need to go back and reiterate on that. I don't think we're going to have to know. I don't think I'm going to have to wait to, I don't think I'm going to have to wait until I get to heaven to find out what Paul went through and what his downfall was. Was it his eyesight? Or what was it? Or someone else? Why this individual had to go through these type of problems to get closer to the Lord, when the Lord, we think, could have used something else. Maybe something else a little different, and it wouldn't have been as painful. But the thing about it, see, that's one thing about us. That's one difference between us and God. We cannot see what tomorrow holds. We have no idea what tomorrow holds. But God does. God knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows exactly what I'm going to eat in the morning. And God knows right now if I'm going to fall or not. God knows what tomorrow will bring. And that's the reason I believe that we need to stay close to God. Because when we're close to God, then I know some people say, well, I don't believe that, but we can almost read. We can almost hear the wheel of turning there in heaven and what we're going to be facing tomorrow. Because if I knew what I was going to have to face tomorrow, you know what I'd do? And it wouldn't be just me. It'd probably be each one of us and a lot more. If we knew what tomorrow holds for us, we'd probably go out there and try to kill ourselves, commit suicide, put a gun to our head. But see, God did not give us that opportunity. God did not give us that choice, that where we can look down in time, we can go back and look at the past, because we've already been through the past. We know what happened through the past. And we're supposed to be able to correct position and what we're doing, correct it and using the past to where in the future that we're facing, and the future hadn't got here yet. We're facing the present. But that in the past can help us to face the future, which only God knows about. God's not going to reveal it to me. He's not going to reveal it to me what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen to me and what kind of life that I'm going to be living tomorrow. God don't reveal that to me. Jesus Christ already revealed that to me when he saved me. And then he told me, he said, now, what I want you to do now, I want you to get in the Word, and you read the Word, and you obey the Word. You know, some people say, well, we're not living under the law. I don't know if we are or not. Because we could be living under the law. Because you have some things of the past that the law itself came forth and brought it to the individuals back then. But yet, today for us, we can take that same law and we can analyze it and look at it scripturally wise in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and we can see where that it does apply today. Because even Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, that was a part of the law, because it said over there, and I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy, that there will be no broken legs And they wasn't. When they crucified our Lord, oh yeah, they wanted to break his leg. They wanted to break every bone in his body. But they couldn't. Because see, the law had already been given, and now the grace of God had appeared. So they couldn't go out and say, well, it's going to be this way or that way. The lost. The blessings of Canaan. In Canaan, they had corn. You know, in the book of Ruth, she speaks of going out and gathering up the sickles and everything and binding them up. All that was done in Canaan. And Ruth knew all about it. Naomi, she knew all about it. The lost. The blessing of Canaan's corn. In the Bible, corn stands for three things. Stands for strength. Stands for fatness and satisfaction. In Hosea chapter 2 and verse 8 it says, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. The lost that loses the blessings. And look at the blessings that they do lose. Even the individuals, and this right here, I believe that the people in this category, they got to be the most miserable individuals that I know of. And according to God's word, that's what God's word is saying. Your life is going to be miserable because you once walked with me. And you once talked to me. And you once came and worshiped me. And I gave you blessings. But now, where you at now? You out there doing your own thing because somebody else told you, say, well, you know, I'm a little older than you are, and I've been hearing it since in the 50s, that the Lord's going to return any moment. Any moment he's going to return. And he is. Any moment. But I believe that God himself sees that other individual out here that needs him. And the reason I say all of that is because there is a born-again believer, a Christian, has that individual on their heart and praying for them. If nobody won't pray in, and if we won't pray in for other people, then yes, God would. He said, well, I'm going to take what church we got, and I'm going to bring them all home. Because they done got so disgruntled and everything that they just can't cope with nothing anymore. They lost the blessings of the upper and neither springs. Joshua 15 and verse 19, he says this. Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also spring of water. And he gave her the upper spring and the neither spring. Gave him a blessing. That's what God is all about. Is supplying his blessings to other individuals. That's what he wants to do for each one of us here. That's what he wants to do for the body of Christ here at Faith Baptist Church. He wants to bless us to where we can't comprehend why. And we don't understand why he wants to bless us. Because we can say that we're not worthy of his blessings. And we're not. But he blesses us because he loves us. And he wants to bless us more. He don't want to have to wait a week or two or a month to bring a blessing to my way. Or your way. No. I mean, he wants to bring a blessing my way this morning. He wants to bring a blessing my way this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, in the morning. Every hour during the day, he wants to bring us a blessing. And he can give the blessings out. No one else can. And I know you've heard the saying where you have some people say, well, talk about individuals and everything. They'll say, well, I want to thank the Lord for them because they've blessed my heart today. No, we say it. But it's not true. They did not bless us. He blesses each one of us because that's his job. And he's faithful to what he's supposed to do. He's faithful in what he's supposed to do for me. He's faithful in what he's supposed to do for you. And he's going to make sure it's going to get done. And it's going to get done his way. I mean, yes, he may have to take us behind the woodshed. And he may have to take it and get the biggest brush there or biggest log there and beat us half to death to get our attention. But he will get our attention. And when he gets our attention, we'll know it. And when we do experience that attention, then we know that what we need to do, we need to go out there and supply the gospel to all the lost individuals. We don't know who's saved and who's not saved. Only individual knows who they're saved, if they're saved or not. Is that in the person and God. You don't know that I'm really saved, except for me giving out my testimony. But in thinking about that, in looking at it that way, and it says right here in the, in Kings, 2 Kings chapter 7, chapter 17 and verse 33, says they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nation whom they carried away from thence. Until this day, they do after the former manner. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after that. Statutes, or after thy ordinance, or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. Israel was getting to the point now that people were started attacking them as individuals, starting to belittle them and laughing at them because here's Israel, they looked to God. But the heathens that was all around them was laughing at them and ridiculing them. Why? Because they was talking about the Savior. It's the same way today. We can go to the mall, or we can go to Lowe's or Walmart or wherever, and we can start talking to somebody, and then we can bring it up about the church. Because the individual may say, well, you know, me and my family, we're having some problems and everything. And they just say, well, the church, just remember me in prayer. That right there gives us an open door right there. An open door. So what we must do, says, I'll tell you what, before I leave, let's have a word of prayer. Because once I leave here, I'm liable to forget. I'm liable to forget your name, and I'm liable to forget what you really wanted. So I need to pray for you now. So I have it fresh on my mind. When it's fresh on my mind and I can give it to God with the freshman that I had, and I can give God the exact same thing that individual gave me. What else is it to do? That's all God's asked us to do, is share His Word. He ain't told us to go out there and browbeat people. He ain't told us to go out there and just tell people, oh, well, if you don't accept God today, you're going to die and go to hell. They know that. They know it. the thing about it is, we forget so much. We forget where we came from. We forget how we was before we got saved. Oh yeah, you know, I wasn't a real bad person. I didn't run around on my wife and I didn't go out here and get drunk every night. And I didn't do no drugs or nothing like that. But yet, still I was lost. I was lost. I had not come to Jesus. And see, Jesus found me. I wasn't looking for him. Was you looking for Jesus when he found you? No. And the reason for that is because if I was looking for Jesus, then I knew what I had to do before I got there, when I found him. So I didn't even have to go and look for him. I didn't have to go and find him. If I knew that much about him, then all I had to do was just pray. Lord God, I'm a sinner. I'm hell-bound. And I'm so low now in my life, I don't know what to do. I need something better than I've got now. And Father, I believe that you have it. And Father, and I want it. I want what you have, what you've given to so many other people. I want you to give me some of it. I know I'm not worthy of it. I'm not even worthy of you even listening to my prayer. You see, he did not say that I wasn't worthy. Because see, in his sight, he said, you are worthy. You are worthy. Because I know what I can do with you if you allow me to. And that's another thing. We have got to let God do something in our life. We have to allow him to do whatever it takes. We need to surrender all. I've surrendered my complete body to him. I've surrendered everything that I have, everything that I own, every piece of equipment that I got out in the shop, the land in my home. I give it to him. Why? Because it is his. So I'm doing wrong by telling him or telling anybody else, I said, you ain't getting my house. It ain't mine anyhow. It's God's. But you know, I love him more today than I've ever before. I know I say that every time, but I do, I tell you. And I just wish that some people that have been to church and then got out of church just because maybe something was said or something was done that maybe they didn't particularly care for or not like, but see, they don't come to the people and ask the people what was the problem. Why did you say that? Hey, I know I say things that's wrong. I'm human. I'm not God. I'm not God, and I'm not Jesus Christ, and I'm not the Holy Spirit. So I know once this mouth right here opens, and before the first word comes out, I know something is going to be wrong in doing that. But see, I can't blame God. And God's not going to blame me, because he says, you're going through a learning process now. That's where some people, I don't get other, some people, especially the Christians that are in church and everything, and they will come about and say, well, seeing the so-and-so went up, and they praying. Then the next few minutes or something like that, they'll get up and they'll stand with the preacher and everything, and then the preacher just tell them, says, you tell the people what you just told me. And then they come up and say, I just got saved. But yet, then we that are sitting there in the pews, we are condemning them. We are condemning them to hell because we say, we'll see how long that lasts. We'll see how long they last. Because you can't last living a Christian life. Yes, you can. You can last in living that Christian life. And on top of that, what gets me is, as the individuals will say, why? Why do I believe all of this? Well, the reason you do is because God has given you a mind that you build upon it. That you build upon your own mind and what God gives you each and every day. And we have the mind of God. We have His mind. But we don't process everything correctly. Because if we did, we'd live a better life. And if we did, I wouldn't just be speaking to 7-8 people. I'd be speaking to a full house. Then I'd be home after church and everything and praying. And said, God, now what you want us to do now? We done prayed. And you've answered our prayer. You've brought the people in. And people are getting saved. Now, Lord, what do I need to do now? I know, because you don't want me to stop. You don't want me to say, well, that's enough. We can't, you know, we got all the pews full. And we even got the baptistry full and even set out some chairs. Got them full. What else do I need, Lord? What else do I need? You need that other soul that's lost. That's what you need. You need to go to that other soul that's lost. You don't know who it is. But you need to go and share with somebody. Let us notice the mob of those who live in Babylon. This may help us to see more clearly whether we are residing there or not. They have no song, no praise, and no joy. Psalms 137 and verse 104. No joy, no blessings, nothing. Why? Because they traveled over into Babylon, and when they got there, they forgot about Canaan. They said, we in Babylon now. We got to do things by Babylon's way. And by Babylon's law, we got to obey them. And something else that I have noticed here in the United States of America, that as far as a courthouse, a judge, anybody. When an individual comes and stands, before they get in the witness stand, and before they tell the account of what happened from the lawyer, from the district attorney, before they get up there and do all that, they have to raise the what? Right hand? Right hand. And they need to take that oath. But if you notice something, I don't understand why they even take the oath. Because they leave God out of it. They don't want God in it. And the reason they don't want God in it is because the judge will really, he will really get upset if God was in it. Because then he would know right there. Yes, he's a judge in that courtroom, but he's not the final judge. They don't want it. They don't want the Ten Commandments in the courthouses. They don't want nothing at all that represents God. And if you'll notice one thing that it's a group. I don't know if it's Jehovah's Witness or not. No, it's another group, I believe, that they have been trained for the last 25, maybe 30 years in trying to get four words off of our coins and off of the dollar bill. And that word is, in God we trust. But now the government up there, they done come up to the point now and said, it's going to cost us too much to do that. Because that means we're going to have to go ahead and we're going to have to print all new coins to take the place of. We just can't make a few this month and a few next month. We got to make them. We got to continue running their presses until we get them all changed. They're not going to change it. Even that judge down in Alabama, they made him take up the Ten Commandments that was standing there in the front of the courthouse that he purchased himself, and he had it placed there in front of the courthouse. And they made him remove it. The government made him remove it. But now the government has come back around, and now they're seeing that they was wrong. Now the government has to pay to have it put back in place, the same place. It won't done because of the party that was represented back then when he took it out. It was done by individuals that knew something about God. And I know there's people that they don't like Donald Trump. And I rate him because of his wealth and everything, and some things has come out. We don't know what's true and what's not true. But one thing I can say about Donald Trump, he has stood behind the jail, Christians. He has stood behind the Christians to where no one is going to come in here and tell us what we can do and what we can't do. And I admire him for that. If nothing else, I admire him for that. Because I tell you, and I seen something this week on TV, and I'm going to close, that he is the only president, even since Reagan, Kennedy, Johnson, Bush, and all of them. He is the only president has had North Korea turn from this evil that they was in. They say that man over there in Korea, that little short, stubby man. But they say that he fears Trump. They say he fears him. They say that because they don't want to have to go up against the United States. Because he knows if he do, that's going to be it. Because Donald Trump is not playing. He's not playing no more with the rest of these people. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we pray, God, that you'll help us and each one of us, that we would commit our lives, our being to you today. That, Father, what we do tomorrow will be done according to your word. And, Father, that it would bring more individuals into the fold. Individual that's lost. But yet, Father, you went out and you sought what it was at. And when you did, the preaching of thy word drew them to you, Father. And it was the Holy Spirit's work through the preaching that had them to come to you. So, Father, we ask in Lord Jesus that you'll save somebody today, wherever it may be. Save them before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, for the individuals that just got out of church, and they really don't know why, nothing like that. My prayer is now, Father, that you would speak to thy heart in your own way that can get a hold of thy attention. And just let them know of all the blessings that they have missed because they've turned their back on you. Father, we ask in all these things according to your word, in touching the things there in heaven, Father, you will do this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.